And so it's a good thing in the midst of those oppositions when the Lord stands by and says, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness of me in Rome. In other words, you're going to survive this, and you're going to make it all the way to Rome. Now, in this is hope, and it is a word of hope for us tonight. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us here on the program. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Today we continue with the study in the life of the Apostle Paul, and we'll be looking at the man who was determined to stand for God and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus to men. Firstly, let's turn to a Bible verse today. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. This was a word by Paul to the younger Timothy. And Timothy, who was somewhat timid, needed to be exhorted to stand up and be bold for the Lord. Let no man despise thy youth. Youth can be a hindrance, and modesty is required amongst youth, that we give place to the older, but it is not an excuse to be silent, and the Christian is ever to speak out. Young believers too, those that are new to the faith, ought to be able and ready to speak a word in season for the hope that lies within. And we should use every opportunity by our example, by our conversation, in our love, in our gentle spirit, in our faith, and in holy living, that we might be a faithful witness for the Lord. Let's pray for that grace. O God, I pray that thou will deliver us from the sin of silence and give us boldness to speak for the Lord Jesus and to be bold for thee. We pray that you'll give us opportunities today to speak a word in season, a word to some weary soul, to speak of the Lord Jesus our Savior and of the hope that lies within us. We plead the power of the blood, the victory of Calvary, and thy grace today. Bless this program, bless every hearer. Let thy word find a resting place in hearts. We do pray and ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.
Well, we've been reading chapter 23 in the book of Acts. And while I'm not really going to preach a text this evening, there is one striking statement that I want to use as our platform for this message. The verse 11, where in the night, when Paul is in this prison in a very difficult situation, and we're told in chapter 23, 11, that the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. It's certainly true that no man's work is done until the will of God is fulfilled. Now, going to Jerusalem for Paul was a dream fulfilled, but it was also a nightmare unleashed, because his name as the apostle of New Testament Christianity was mud in that city, and there were more enemies than friends when he went there. He was rescued, if you look at chapter 21 and 31, he was rescued from a nigh fatal beating by the chief captain, and was preserved from the mob and taken into custody. The worst of lies and the worst of suspicions were hurled at him. And if you go to chapter 21, verse 38, you'll notice that he even was accused of being an Egyptian who had led some 4,000 men that were murderers Now, how did they ever get that label tagged onto Paul? We might never know. But these are the wild rumors that were spreading and being believed, some of the vicious things that were being said of God's servant. And of course, people, without even checking them out, were believing them and in a mob-like fashion were seeking to destroy him. And then, as we read in chapter 23, there were these 40 men who bound themselves by this very fearful oath that they would neither eat nor sleep until they had slain Paul. Such was the hostility and the bitterness against this man that they were willing to enter into that blood-curdling oath that they would neither rest nor eat until he was dead. And of course, when people are that incensed, it would appear that no matter what is said, no matter what reasoning you bring forth, no matter what light you shine upon them, nothing's going to work. They're out for his blood, and nothing else will satisfy. And so it's a good thing in the midst of those oppositions when the Lord stands by and says, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness of me in Rome." In other words, you're going to survive this, and you're going to make it all the way to Rome. Now, in this is hope. And it is a word of hope for us tonight, a word of hope for us as we seek to serve the Lord. There are those times when we find that we are up against all kinds of opposition, all kinds of treachery, all kinds of even suspicions, and we wonder, how can we ever survive the odds? Well, with the Lord standing by, he can speak to us, "Be of good cheer." Now, the first area of hope I would deduce from this is the hope of the Lord's love for his people. Not just for Paul, but for the missionary work that Paul is yet to do and the souls that he is yet to reach, because his preaching ministry is not yet over. And as he testified in Jerusalem, he will yet go forth and testify in the city of Rome. And that tells us that God is moved, passionate about the salvation of his own people. Now, let me define that, because in our adult Sunday school this morning, we were talking about God is without body, parts, or passion. Now, I think we got into a little bit of a knot on that one this morning. And if we understood our Latin, the word passion means to suffer. And the intent of our Westminster Confession of Faith, when it states that God is without body, part, or passion, means that God is a pure spirit. He does not have bodily parts as arms and hands and a figure of a body, nor is he able to suffer pain. God cannot be impacted upon to suffer agony. We talked this morning about frustration. God cannot be frustrated about people. He's always in control. And we referred about that being always in control of his emotions. But strictly speaking, that word passion in the Westminster Confession has to do with suffering. God, as a spirit, cannot suffer. Now, of course, when our Lord Jesus was made in human form, he was born into the world to suffer, that he might suffer the penalty of sin for us. But without a body, God could not suffer. But that is very different from saying that God is passionate about the salvation of his people. God is moved with an infinite love to save his children. He is pure love, perfect love, endless love, and he will move heaven and earth to save his people. He is passionate to save his people. And here we see that Paul, who is God's instrument in taking the gospel all the way to Rome and reaching Gentiles with the gospel, God will, as I say, move mountains if need be, that he might see that work fulfilled. Now, God therefore cares when we suffer.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Ian Gollaher, and I hope this message will bring you into real fellowship with the Lord today. I hope that this word will put strength into your heart, that there is a battle in the Christian life, and in the midst of that battle, God comes to our aid. He puts strength into our souls, just as the vine puts life into the branch. And may we draw our strength from the Lord at all times and look to him to see us through. So let's be prayerfully listening today, and I trust that God will speak to your heart through his word as we continue with this message from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale.
Now back in Acts 9 verse 4, when Paul was converted, you know that he was a persecutor of the church. And he was wreaking havoc of the church and causing all kinds of agony to God's people. And the Lord said to him in verse 4 of Acts 9, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And so God feels, senses, is sympathetic toward and understands the sufferings of his people. Paul had been a persecutor. And when he was persecuting the church, he was persecuting the Lord. And now the tables are turned. Paul's a Christian, and he is being persecuted. And the Lord cares. The Lord is moved, and out of his love for his people. And God is passionate in that he cannot rest until his sheep be saved, until they are gathered in. And our Lord Jesus said, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of. I have a work to do, and I cannot rest until that work is done." The Lord said when he was going to the cross, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And that means the Lord was taking delight in his own death, that he might suffer in the place of his people. And here we see the Lord enters into the safety of the Apostle Paul, and he is going to make sure that his future service is acknowledged. Now you'll notice that he acknowledges his work in Jerusalem, "as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem." Now Paul didn't do very much in Jerusalem. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. His ministry was to the far-flung corners of the known world, yet his name, his Christian testimony, did a lot. And the very fact now that he has returned and that he is a man that is loved by some and hated by many means that his stand for the gospel is known. And the Lord says, "As thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem." The work that he has done, the witness that he has borne there, God recognized it. Now to Paul it may have seemed very little, almost nothing, but to the Lord it was to be commended. I want to encourage you tonight, if you are feeling the heat of being a Christian and taking that reproach for the gospel's sake, you might think, "But my testimony doesn't count. Whoever takes note, who cares?" Let me tell you, your life touches more people then you will know. And your consistent Christian testimony, taking a clear stand for the Lord, doesn't mean you're always preaching, doesn't mean you're always evangelizing, doesn't mean every time you meet someone that you're giving them the gospel and you're telling them about the Lord Jesus. When those opportunities arise, grasp them and be thankful for them. But your very name, your very character, your very presence in the room carries the very name and testimony of the Lord Jesus with you. And the Lord takes note of that. And I want to just draw your attention to this and encourage you by this. You might be saying, "My witness does not count." Never say that. Never say that. Because what Paul did in Jerusalem, God noted. And yet we know that his great work was not in Jerusalem, it was in various and many other places. And so this brought hope to Paul's heart. "Be of good cheer, because as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also witness at Rome." There is also here the hope of protection, the Lord's protection. Now God uses many instruments to protect us. And there are three ways that he uses to protect Paul. There was the Roman law. He was a Roman citizen. And when Paul was going to be scourged, he was able to appeal that he was a Roman citizen. And that turned things around. Paul was able to use the laws of the civil law of the day, Roman law, to his self-preservation. And then in chapter 23, 16, you will find that God used the faithful witness of his nephew. in chapter 23:16. And when Paul's sister's son, we're not giving this young lad's name, Paul's sister's son. Now, he was in Jerusalem, you see, the place where he had spent a lot of his life. And here were family members in Jerusalem. And they were in the know. They had their contacts. And the word got out that there were men lying in wait. Verse 16, he went, that is this young nephew, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. And he warned him. And the centurions let him in. And they said, bring this young man unto the chief captain. And they did so. And in verse 18, they took him right to Paul, the prisoner, and called unto him, and so on. And then verse 19, then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. So again, Paul is using the law. And out of this warning through the nephew, we find that the magistrate or the chief captain, he summons a cavalry to take Paul out of the city of Jerusalem by night all the way to Caesarea, which is on the coast. And if you go down to verse 23, you have the rehearsal there of that march or cavalry by which he was carried out of the city. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night. Taking no chances. He's not going to take them out by a small band, not going to wait until the sun was up, not going to wait until people knew what was happening. Immediately, for Paul's safety, took him out of the city. And so you'll find in verse 24 that when he was in Caesarea, he was under the jurisdiction of Felix. Felix, the Roman governor. And so again, God uses all of these things to protect his servant. And as the Lord came to Paul that night and said to him, be of good cheer. It was a word of protection, a word of his keeping power. Now that is encouraging to us tonight. In the midst of all the fears and the concerns that we might have in witnessing and serving the Lord, and whatever may be before us, if we're in the will of God, we will have his protection. And God will use all manner of things to protect us. He can use civil law. He can use contacts. He can use another jurisdiction. He can use the Felixes of this world. And when God is with us, we can be sure that we will have that protection. Of course, there are many stories of God's supernatural providences in keeping God's people. Never think that coincidence is merely just events that happen on their own. We need to see God's hand in them, and we need to see God's protection in them. And we learn that coincidence is when God works a miracle and chooses to remain silent. That's often what happens. And those things that we think just fell into place, God worked a miracle and chose to remain silent. We didn't see the hand of God in it, but nevertheless, the hand of God was at work. And in every Christian's life, there are miracles of divine protection along the way. And if whatever the Lord is using you to do, his hand of protection will be there.
Thank you.
This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.